So while the kids are leaving, total side note, if you get a pumpkin spice frappuccino today, it has actual homemade pumpkin pie in it. And so you might want to think about that. But I'm drinking that right now and just really feeling like it's Thanksgiving. So anyway, it's not. Well, y'all doing okay? You ready for this? All right, good. You're not convincing, but I'm going to go anyway. So we're going there. Well, if you've got your Bibles with you this morning, I'd encourage you to turn to John chapter 7, and we are going to be in verses 37 through 39, and this week I have it right, and so you don't have to struggle. So if you would, grab that and turn there, and we're going to start right off the bat with the scripture. So once you have that, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. On the last day of the feast, get this, the great day, Jesus stood up. Church, there's some significant things here. Jesus stood up and cried out, simple words, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. God, today, help us. In the power that comes through Jesus' name, we rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we pray today in the midst of me, Lord, that you would speak, that the words would come from your throne, that we would break through the comfortable, that we would break through the norm, that we would break through the barriers that keep us held up, and that we would receive your living waters. We love you, we honor you, and we pray that this time will be fruitful. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. So the last couple of weeks, we have been challenging you, or I've been challenging you, the Lord's been challenging you to not stop, okay, when it seems easy to stop. And honestly, we could all admit that there's moments in our life that it is just really simple to say, you know what, I'm not going to go any further. And yet we know that isn't what God has for us. He has so much more for us. And so in our home, we kind of have a motto not to go halfway. And so we decided to get this old farmhouse, and we're all in. And I know I announced last week, this isn't like the best picture of him. It's a hymn, by the way, the first hymn in the D'Agostino home, so number whatever it is. But it's kind of weird, can I be honest with you for a second, to knock on the door, or like you got a lot of stuff in your arms, and you come up to the back door to open it, and you hear baying and barking at the same time, and screaming, you know, dad's home. It's a very strange feeling. By Friday, I said, okay, I think I'm getting used to this, but it's strange. And then to like wake up in the middle of the night to a sheep at the foot of your bed baying. It's honestly very biblical. I know this sounds totally crazy, but I'm always thinking Lamb of God because my whole life I've been saying, right, Lamb of God. And so, oh gosh, it's like a constant reminder of the Lord. And so it's very convicting. But anyway, there he is. So we go all the way, right? I mean, I don't know if you know this about the D'Agostinos. When we do something, we do it. Y'all don't know that? Because I could step out of some other things that'll just make you feel really uncomfortable. Okay. All right, anyway, but we do it. That's just how our family functions, and we go for it. And I believe that this moment, this is significant, this moment in the scriptures, oftentimes we just read it. We read it, we go through it. It's like, my goodness, is a beautiful picture that Jesus is calling us to. We forget the context. We forget how it fits together. We forget where Jesus is stopping, and it is significant. These moments that Jesus spoke in this way are significant. And so, I believe in this moment, Jesus was speaking to people that were defeated, to people that were holding on to an old system, to people who were looking at what was and saying it should still be, and yet not finding fulfillment, yet finding themselves in the same place a year or two down the road. And so, we come to this place, which is very significant in the life of the Old Testament, but it was considered the Feast of the Tabernacle. Now, many of you know that in the Old Testament, there's lots of feasts. You all like to eat? Come on now, you know you like to eat, right? We all love to eat. We like Thanksgiving, not because we're thankful, but because we're hungry. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really about the food or the fellowship. It's about the food. And anyway, they do a lot of feasts in the Old Testament. This was the Feast of the Tabernacle. Now, I kind of call this the Feast of the Camping. Y'all want to go with me on that? If you know anything about it, you know that's what they did. They uprooted, right? Because it was to remind them of the wilderness. And they got palm branches and stuff, and they went to the outer court of the temple. I mean, imagine this scene. It would be like all of you. Next Sunday, I said, look, I need y'all to get out of the comforts of your home and remember what it's like not to be in a place that's safe. And so bring your tents, and we're going to park them up all over the parking lot. And so they would. They would build these really probably cheap-looking palm-like tents, and they would live there for 7 days during the Feast of the Tabernacles. Are you all with me? Can you picture in your mind all these little pop-up tents? Families leave their homes 7 days, they're not home. You know what else is significant about this? And I like this about the Old Testament, something that I read this week, and that is that when it came to their religious, right, beliefs, there is something that we have to give them credit for. When it was time to celebrate, when it was time to remember, when it was time to mourn, they left their jobs, right? They left the security of money. They left those things and went and did these celebrations. And so every day at the Feast of the Tabernacle, there would be kind of a procession of the priest, and they would bring golden, I don't know what you would call them, but kind of the things that carry cisterns of water, and they would go and parade, and they would dump those cisterns in the middle of the temple courts representing water. So there'd be water in those, and that would represent God's bounty and how he takes care of us. And so do you get now Jesus' words and how they fit into this feast and how these words are so significant? They were celebrating God's overflowing presence in the wilderness. In Isaiah 12:3, it says, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And this and this day is what they would say during this part, the peak of the day when the priests would do this. I wonder if at the peak, or maybe not at the peak of our days, do we celebrate with joy the salvation that God has given us? And so, at the heart of the feast, these priests would carry this. Now, interestingly enough, at the end of this, so in the Old Testament, it was a 7-day feast. In the New Testament, it was an 8-day feast. We're going to focus just on this. There were some changes made in the New Testament. But right here, they would do the same thing on the 7th day, but they would skip something. It wouldn't be a celebratory parade. See, in the other 6 days, when the priests got there and the waters would come down, they would celebrate. They would clap. They would dance. They would celebrate. We don't in the church, we don't get excited here. But anyway, I mean, Olivet chose AFC, and it's like, oh, okay. Anyway, they got excited. They clapped. It actually translates as clapped, danced, shouted, and celebrated God's living water, provision, protection over them. But on the 7th day, they went around 7 times, signifying the walls of, all right. And then they would pour the cisterns, and guess what would come out? Nothing. And it signified their what? Disobedience. It signified that when they were disobedient, God did what? He waited for them to get back on track. And so, instead of water coming out, they would do the, and nothing would come. And then they would stand in silence for a very long period of time, giving them a chance to think, giving them a chance to say in their minds, let's not go back there. Let's remember what disobedience looks like. Let's not set ourselves up for that again. And here's what's crazy. Theologians believe at this very moment, in this feast, because it was the great day, the day of full remembrance in the Old Testament, the last day of the feast, you know what Jesus did in the time of silence? He yelled. In the time when everyone was thinking about sin, thinking about shame, thinking about the past, thinking about the dry times when the Lord's plenty wasn't on them, Jesus stood and spoke. Isn't it nice that in our dry times, in our hardest times, in the times when we're remembering, Jesus comes and he speaks. This was significant. In fact, it's kind of beautiful. Jesus was stepping in at the time where he instructed his people to remember their disobedience, and he was saying, let's wash that away. Let's no longer live in that shame. Let's no longer think of the mistakes of the past. Let's no longer think that it's not possible to live fully embracing his will. Jesus steps in. Jesus still steps in. A statement that I want you to hold on to. God will meet us on the level of our desire. We can have as much of God as we want. And you say, well, that sounds like prosperity. That sounds like Jesus used the language living, rushing waters. Now, I've preached about just that one statement and what that means and what it means to thirst and the body and all that. And today we're not going to look at that. Today we're kind of taking it from another perspective. And so I want you to think about this. When you feel like God isn't present from you, where are your desires? Where is your heart? It's easy to say, I don't feel, sense, know God right now. When are those times? Evaluate your heart, your desires, your thoughts. Because I believe if this scripture is true, and I believe that if Jesus stood and stepped forward in these moments, then dry times aren't for us. Hard times can be for us, but just because they're hard times doesn't mean they're dry times. Just because they're difficult days doesn't mean they're dry days. Just because you don't know how this is going to work out doesn't mean that they're dry. Just because you're not sure of the outcome doesn't mean they're dry. I think we often kind of see Jesus in a certain way. We need to learn that the blessing of God is not a cheap commodity lightly dispensed. Jesus stood and said, I'm about to just let you have it all. All of who I am, all of what I can bring to you, I'm going to open up the floodgates and let you have. So, by Jesus standing in that dry time, what does that say to you? Yeah. Interestingly enough, and y'all are so quiet today. Are you okay? All right, I didn't do anything to offend it. I love you all. You're great. You know what I mean? I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. You know what I mean? It's like really tense in here. The condition you must meet is need. Here's what's crazy. Jesus didn't get up and say, let me tell you the conditions in order to. Now, why is this important? Well, because there were conditions for the feast. Well, because every person that was God-fearing was told to do the feast. In all honesty, as I thought about it this week, I actually said, you know what, sometimes maybe it'd be nice just to do this process and know that we get what it is at the end. Some of you that are like, you like timelines and schedules and like, you know, accomplishment, this would be good for you. You know what I'm saying? Because you could just do it. I'm just being honest. I could just say, okay, we did what God wanted. It's over. It's done. Now next year we'll do it again. But interestingly enough, Jesus said, like, no, there's more. No, it's different. And he didn't stand up and say, like the Old Testament, here are the 6 days and what you need to do in those 6 days so that in the New Testament era, you can have living waters. He didn't make conditions. He said, if you'll receive me and thirst after me, you will have me. So your level of desire will dictate my level of presence. Now, I'll come around you and woo you. I'll come around you and send people your way. I'll go before you. I'll make sure but as you desire me, I will be poured out on you. Aren't you glad that there isn't a condition? But see, sometimes on the flip side, we have conditions. We have conditions about how far, about how often, about how much, about... What's your condition that keeps you from? See, the thing is, and I hope you hear this in my heart, is that our condition collectively, average it out, then that's the condition of AFC. This is the truth. You make up AFC, right? He's the head, and then we just come, and if we're ready for and willing, then he'll be ready and willing, and if we're not, he won't be. Because he's only going to go as far as it's an average. It's basically y'all are getting a grade. Are you with me? Okay, you don't really get a grade, but you know. You're all in a different place in your journey of willingness and the conditions you put on God. You take that number, you average it, that's as much as God is going to. We are built to be thirsty. It's the only thing I'm going to say about the last time that I spoke to you about this. Our bodies are built to be thirsty. I drink nonstop. Ever since having COVID twice, I now drink all the time. I can't not have a drink. I actually panic when I get in the car and I'm like, oh, I forgot my drink. There's just something, it's metal and it tastes like it's awful and it just is always there and I can't get it. And Jesus is saying here, if you'll thirst after me, it should just be a constant. You should always, your heart, your condition, your place, he should just be ever present on your mind. And what's great is Jesus stopped in the driest of moments and said, you never have to be dry again. Another significant thing. I said this a couple of times and we've talked about this. Now here's a new place that it happened. And that is that Jesus stood. You say, well, what's the big deal? It's a big deal. Why is that? Teachers never stood in that day. Wouldn't that be nice, teachers, if you could just sit and your students will respect you if you're sitting? So, because all day you all stand, don't you? Oh, gosh. I mean, I don't know how you do it. All day you stand, right? But in the Jewish tradition, teachers never stood. Ever. It was disrespectful. Now, interestingly enough, Jesus stood, which tells us what? Did he stand for himself? Did he stand because? No, he stood for you. He stood for them. He stood to say, I'm here. In fact, when you look at who stood in that day, and this is interesting, it would actually have been the heralder, meaning the person that would stand and give announcement for the king who wouldn't sit either. I mean, wouldn't stand either, right? They would be the person that, and Jesus wasn't that, but it's actually translated and spoken the same way. Meaning here, Jesus stood to give the message of God. He stood as the presenter, as the representative of God to say, we're getting close. We're getting close to opening up the floodgates of heaven. You think about the Amazon River, you all know about it. It starts at a bunch of trickles, and then it moves, and it comes together, and then it pushes for like, I don't know, 3,600 miles before it reaches the Atlantic Ocean. And there's so much power by the time it reaches the Atlantic Ocean that it goes like 60 miles out the pressure from where it reaches the Atlantic Ocean. And when you translate it here, it's like nothing that can be translated anywhere else. And so it's just as if Jesus is saying, there is going to be a washing over you. There is going to be a movement over you. There is going to be a power over you that's unmistakable, untamable, unrestrictable. So, the ache in our hearts is at root, an ache for Jesus. And so if your heart aches, if it's empty, if it's filled with lies and not truths, Jesus can come and purify. Jesus can come and change. Jesus can come. Isaiah 58:11. When you look at your little scriptures, it's one of those that it points to. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Now I'll brag on my wife for a little bit. She waters her garden still to today. It's why tonight we're having salsa, because it's the, is it October? My gosh. Y'all, are you enjoying life? Because it seems to just be going really fast. I don't know if it's because of kids or just that we don't really go to sleep, but one of those. It's like October, y'all. Do you get that? Phew, gosh. But we water it because the tomatoes are still alive and there's still green tomatoes and there's some good days, so we just keep it going so we can continue to enjoy. And Jesus is saying, you know, you could be like a watered garden that never faces a season. I think for some of us, if we were just honest, I can just see in your faces that you got a trickle going on. You ever turn your faucet on and it just trickles? That's all ours do because we have a water problem. But anyway, it just trickles. Imagine washing all this with just a trickle and you fill the cup up for a while and then you dump it and she does it too, right? Poor thing, I'm sorry. It's not hot either. But think about that. Most of you are living off a trickle. Your attitude tells me that. Your grumpiness tells me that. Some of you are living in the overflow. Why? Because your attitude tells me that. Why? Because your smile tells me that. Why? Because the words that come out of your mouth tell me that. See, we're all in a different place. A room this size, we're all on a different scale. Remember, we're all at a different average. But man, if you're living with a trickle, then be teachable enough to look at those that are living in the overflow. Those that stand after a traumatic death, and you look at them, and they're living in the overflow. Those that face hard days, like cancer, and you call them, and it's like they don't have cancer. Why? Because they're living in the overflow. And even as a pastor, some of you, I'm like, you shouldn't feel like living in the overflow. And yet, you do. Man. But maybe today you're just living with a trickle. Maybe today you're really not like running. You know, in the presence, in the fulfillment, in the fullness, man, we should just be. You ever use the word barrenness? It's not a word we use very often. When you look at this and understand it, Jesus was saying the barrenness of your unfulfilled feast can go, can change, can be transformed, can be brought to a place that's full of life. The Spirit of God can bring the faithfulness of Jesus into those barren places. He is the God of possible. He is the God of change. He is the God of heart change. And so, as we close today, and we're going to change direction next week, would you commit to stop going halfway? Would you believe that God has more for you? Would you believe that you could receive it? Would you believe that Jesus stood at a very, very interesting moment? Can I tell you my personality and probably yours too? Just think about it. Jesus was basically saying, all this stuff now that I'm here is unnecessary. Right? Now, do you like doing unnecessary things? No. They're a waste of time, right? I mean, we make a lot of things that aren't necessary. We do them anyway, partially not to hurt feelings, partially just to do it because we should do it. But I want you to think about this for a second. Jesus kept going through all these processes, and I don't care where you are theologically, it is just the truth. Jesus said, I'm here to bring a new kingdom. My ministry started. The Holy Spirit came on me when I got baptized, went and got tempted. I mean, this is after all of that. And so he is changing everything. He's present with them. There's no need for this. And he goes through the 6 days. Now, my personality, I don't know if y'all are like this. Listen, for day one, I'm going to stand up and let y'all know this is not necessary anymore. I'm the living water. You can have it all. Everything can be changed. Let's skip this. Save the money. Go back and go back to work and tell people about me. Right? Doesn't that make more sense than go for 6 days? And I feel like even in Jesus' heart, he kind of anticipated, all right, we're on the 4th day. We're getting close. We're on the 5th day. We're getting close. We're on the 6th day. Whew, finally we're here. Now, why is it so significant? It is because Jesus understands moments. It is because Jesus needed to come in at the place where probably their hearts were most defeated. Because honestly, many of them still felt what? Defeated. And he came in. And imagine Jesus at a moment when it wasn't appropriate, rising and saying, I need you to know, everything is coming that you need. Everything is coming to encourage you. Everything is coming that heaven has to offer is here. And so, if you're okay with a trickle, then keep your mindset. Keep your heart condition. But if you want more than a trickle, figure out. Figure it out. Figure out what really brought the barrenness to be. And then go after it. Because Jesus said, I'll come through there. And just think about it literally. Think about the way water rushes. If you'll just let his presence rush through that, imagine what you could be after. Future, present, family, friends. And it all happened because Jesus spoke at a specific moment and said, let me come. Let me bring this morning. God, today, we thank you. Today, God, it's been more about just picturing a scene, picturing the meaning behind that scene, picturing your timing to prompt Jesus to the Holy Spirit to stand at the very moment that the water didn't come out. And I believe today that there are people present that if their cistern turned upside down, it would just be trickling. You'd have to look up and see, is there anything in there? But the key is there is. If we'll allow you to stand and speak today in our barrenness. And God, for those today, because there's many that are just daily being washed over by your presence, hearing your words, being changed by your heart, God, if you would just continue to encourage them, continue to lift them up, continue to draw them in, and God, continue to let them speak to us. So today, Lord, wash over us. Let us receive. Let us let you rise in our life. And let us sit as a student before the Master. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a great afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Make sure and join us for Sunday school. We have a pretty cool presentation next Sunday about Sunday school.
There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over.